You open your Bibles, please, to 1 Peter chapter 2. As we continue from where we left off, we'll give a little review of what we talked about last week and go into finish this passage of Scripture. But our focus really for a growing faith. Growth is, we mentioned that growth is a normal expression of life. When something or someone doesn't grow, we know something's wrong, don't we? Growth is also a normal expression of the Christian life. In fact, the New Testament writers assume growth and constantly urge us to pursue it. Peter urges us to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul instructs us, speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Jesus Christ. We should never stop growing spiritually as believers in Christ. There's no such thing as an adult Christian which no longer needs to grow. Spiritual growth is important, and the word that we must take and diligently pursue of a clear goal. We must use God-given ways of growth that's given to us from the Bible. There are spiritual disciplines that we need to have in our life. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, did you know that you're loved and accepted by God? But you're loved and accepted by God through the merit of Jesus, and you're blessed by God through the merit of Jesus. Nothing you ever will do to cause Him to love you anymore. Nothing you ever do will cause Him to love you any less. So our growth must be motivated of love for God and a desire to glorify Him. How do we do that? You should have a craving for God's Word. We talked about last week how in that craving we need to have, and you must wonder sometimes, how come I don't crave for the Word of God? I believe this passage of Scripture gives us important truths and that we can apply in our lives so that if we're not craving, we take these essentials in our life and practice them, I believe you'll start seeing a craving for the Word of God. We talked last week about the foundation for that growth in the Christian life is really the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of Christ, and it's the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, for a grace are ye saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's true that God does love and accepts us as sinners, just as we are, but He does not leave us that way. God's approval does have to be earned. But the gospel tells us that His approval was earned by Jesus, not us. It's His sinless life and His sin-bearing death. For He hath made Him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And so we realize that foundation of Jesus Christ, where God, of His grace, where God treated Christ as we deserve to be treated, in order that He might treat us as He deserves to be treated. You see, God's grace saves us. It gives us spiritual strength. It sustains us. It equips us for ministry. And in that grace we talked about last week, and that foundational truth is there is the righteousness of God and the power of God to salvation. And that grace is that all from the righteousness of God to the power of God. And it's like we mentioned, as one man put it, as I believe it was Jerry Bridges, that put it that they're like bookends to a shelf. The only way those books are going to stay up is you by faith declare, and Jesus Christ then declares you righteous. And that by that grace we see the power of God that enables us as the Spirit of God lives within us. See, our power to live the Christian life must come from God. As the Lord Himself says, for without me ye can do what? Nothing. You can't do a thing. You need the power of God as He declares you righteous in your life. He is the one that can keep you, for I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. And so as Jerry Bridges mentioned, if we are going to experience any success at all in putting on the shelf of our lives the various books of Christian growth, we must first set in place these two bookends in order to keep the books from falling down. We must learn to depend on the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Christ, and the power of Christ. And so we look at the foundation of that grace, of the righteousness of God and the very power of God. And as Paul was talking to the pastors in Ephesus in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, we see the very fundamental of that growth is the Word of God. For he says, "For now, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are set apart from the world unto God. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." And the instrument of that spiritual growth is the Holy Spirit, and the transformation for that growth is the Word of God. You see, we know the only way we can avoid conforming to the values of the world is a consistent exposure to the Word of God. You see, the Word of God is not man's will, but the will of God. It's reliable and authoritative. We can trust the Bible to tell us all we need to know about God and about ourselves and about all and about His plan of salvation. It expresses His very will of which we are to obey. And there's so many of us. There's so many I hear, I want to have a relationship with God. But we also mentioned last week, there's no way that you can have a relationship with God unless you have a relationship with the Bible. It is impossible. Oh, I've got to have that relationship with God. I know I'm living for the Lord. But do you have a relationship with the Bible? How close is that relationship with God determines your relationship to the Bible, God's Word. And Peter here is saying, you need to crave for it. He doesn't say here, read it. He doesn't say here, meditate on it. He doesn't say here, study it. He doesn't say here, memorize it. He doesn't say here, obey it. What he says is, crave it. You see, without that craving, all these others that I just mentioned, which are commands in Scripture, which we'll be going over in the next few weeks. But first of all, you've got to have a craving for God's Word. And you will never have a relationship with God unless you have a relationship with God's Word. He's got to talk to you. And as you put that righteousness in Him, if you've put your righteousness in Him and He's declared you righteousness, you put your faith in Him and He's declared you righteous, then there's the Spirit of God that lives within you, and there has to be at least a little bit of a desire for the Word of God. And here He says, you as believers, because He's talking to believers here, you as believers need to crave the Word of God and have a fervent focus on the very Word. In other words, in order for us to have that relationship, and he really compares it to eating as a babe, desiring the sin-filled milk of the Word, we need to get rid of the junk food. We need to get rid of junk food, spiritual junk food that keeps us from craving God's Word. And so I believe that in this passage of Scripture, we see the essentials to a healthy growth in your life. A love and a delight in God's words always will mark the truly saved person. As we mentioned last week in Psalm 119, starting at verse 97, he says, "Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than the enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged because I have observed their precepts. I've restrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word. I have turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth, for the precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way." Let me ask you a question. What did it do for you right then when I just read a few verses of God's Word about His Word? What were you thinking about? What you going to do afterwards? Were you craving for what it said? You know, we are such a pious sometimes people. Oh, you know my position, and I've been a saved for all these years. But yet we don't concentrate on God's Word. We don't really crave it. Case in point, what were you thinking about when the Word? Are you looking forward to the truth of God's Word? Did you know something? God gives us right. I believe Peter gives us here different essentials that if you want to start craving God's Word, and as a believer in Christ, you should. I would dare say, I would question your salvation. If there's not a great desire, I realize as you feed, there's more of a desire and you grow in that grace and knowledge. This passage is not talking about that growth going from milk to meat. It's talking about the constant desire we must have as a baby always does for that milk. And so we looked at this passage of Scripture and we saw that Peter wanted the Christians to be faithful to the kind of spirit prompting, longing for the Word of God. So in this passage, we'll see many truths and essentials to help you crave for the Word of God, a call for spiritual growth. And so we looked at where it says, therefore, we see, first of all, we mentioned last week that you must perceive your life source. You must remember where your life source comes from as a believer. Look what he says in this passage of Scripture. He says, wherefore, or therefore. And so he's really talking about in verse 1, going back to what verses? Really, his whole first chapter. But it's really referring back to verses 23 through 25. Look with me there. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 and 25. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by what? We're born again by what? The Word of God. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower therefore fadeth away, falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You must remember, you must perceive your life source. Where does your life come from? It says right here, the word of God, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of what kind of seed? Incorruptible. And what is that incorruptible seed? By the what? Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Did you know the word of God was here before time? I guess he just talked to himself. It's hard to imagine. But you and I must perceive the life source, that it's imperishable. He begat us with the very word of truth. In James chapter 1, verse 18, and Psalm 119, verse 105 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. That's Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Then he says in Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a what? Lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Is that what it is? You need to perceive your life source. Where'd you get it all from? Where's your life? It's the Word of God. And if you perceive and realize what your life source, what really makes you tick in your position, where someday forever you're going to abide with Him, but He makes you tick, that it is the Word of God, I believe you will begin to crave God's Word. If you really realize the life source of a believer is the Word of God. It's the very revelation that we are to keep in our heart. Meditate on it. Obey it. For it's the life source for your being prosperous and successful. Joshua 1:8. In other words, he says in Matthew 4:4, as he was tempted in the wilderness, and Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by what? Bread alone. You not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the what? Mouth of God. You see, you realize your life source, you will crave for it. That's what I can't live without it. I can't live without it. You perceive where that life force is. I need the Word of God. I can't live without it. And you know something? If you really go back and you perceive where your life source is, you will crave for the Word of God. And we see the wonderful truth. Number two, we saw in the first part of verse, as newborn babes. Here we need to proclaim your need for the Word. Do babies need their mother's milk? It says, as newborn babes. And he's talking about one that has just been born in the usage. It illustrates how strongly believers ought to desire the Word. Life depends on it. And he sets forth an inborn longing, which comes at salvation through the Holy Spirit that dwells within you, a tenderness that you can have a relationship with God, that we might maintain the distinctive characteristics of that baby life, desire for the world. We must not only perceive where our life source comes from, but you know what else we need? We need to proclaim, admit our need for the Word of God, just as a baby, a newborn babe, needs that milk. We don't like to admit things. We think we can do everything, don't we? I don't need any help. Case in point, you might not be like this, but it is a stereotype. A man and woman driving down the road, trying to find directions. I know we have we have our GPSs now. But bless God, I want to let you know, I never take a wrong turn. And then the wrong turn's taken, and the wife looks at you and goes, no, never, Well, the GPS said this. I thought this was the road that the GPS was talking about. We're never wrong. We cannot stand admitting when we are what? Wrong. That's our nature. Do you know something? You need to admit that you need the Word of God and that's your life source. And Peter is so strong here. He says, you need to need it just like the baby needs it for his life source, but needs it for life. There's nothing else the baby wants but that. And you need to proclaim, admit that you need the Word of God. So all these other things won't happen until you get there. You crave for God. You need to realize, perceive your life source and admit and proclaim your need for the Word of God. Do you need the Word of God? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Do you need God's Word this morning? Well, yeah, of course I do, yeah. Well, then, how is it being shown? Are you craving for it? Do you have a relationship with that Word? How much time did you spend this week in that thing that you said you so needed? I would dare say you don't need it then, because you made it without it. And in your mind, hey, I made it without it. Why? If you're craving for it. You know, we use so many crutches. And there's one message, I know I've preached it before here, where we have kings that they use crutches and they used different people, or there's different circumstance, whether it was money, whether it was a person, whether it was this or that, they used crutches for them to do right. What happened if that person that you're so using as a crutch no longer was there? You're going to stumble and fall? This is something personal, folks. This isn't your spouse's responsibility, although we are responsible in discipleship to one another, teach, be examples, and teach the Word of God. But we need to admit that we need the Word of God, and we need to perceive its life source. And we see that there's that application then of that life source that we need to proclaim the Word, that we need God's Word. But look what it says before that. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies, envies and all evil speakings, we need to purge sin from our lives. Perhaps you don't have a desire for God's Word because you have sin in your life. And I don't say that lightly. Because usually when I say that, we usually, our first idea is, well, I haven't stolen from anybody this week. To my knowledge, I haven't lied. I'm a pretty good guy this week. there you go. What about humility? What about arrogance? What about selfishness? What about malice? Slander? Hypocrisies? You see, perhaps you don't crave God's word because you got everything else in your life keeping it from it, clogging it up. Peter simply says here, you need to perceive God's, you need to perceive the life source is God's word. You need to purge sin out of your life in order for you to claim. Because you notice he says, laying aside, take the clothes off, put on new clothes. You as a believer, the Bible pictures that we've put off and put on. We're new creatures. Old things are passed away. All things become new. And he's saying here, now while you're a believer, you need to keep putting on the right clothes. And if you got the wrong clothes, you need to get that sin out of your life. That might be why you do not crave God's word. That might be why you don't have a growing relationship with the Lord, because you don't have one with his word. And the Spirit of God that teaches us that you and I need the word of God. Notice it says there then, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. The word desire there is long for. It commands believers to strongly desire or crave something. It's a command. Its meaning encompasses such things as it's used throughout Scripture as a desire a man or wife has for a spouse, the strong physical craving that accompanies extreme hunger, the longings one has for a deceased loved one, the intense desire a Christian parent has for a spiritually wayward child to repent and return to obedience, the strong desires believers have for the salvation of an unbelieving family member or close friend. All those are definitions that illustrate this kind of strong word that he's saying, you desire. None is stronger, however, than the desire a baby has for milk. And notice it says sincere. The word sincere there. Well, let me, as I mentioned last week, and I want to clarify some things, we want to go through some different words here. Let me give you the different translations, because some of you might have another translation to have difference. But we see in the King James Version, it says, desire the sincere milk of the word, which I read this morning. Then in the New King James, it says, desire the pure milk of the word, which that's what the word sincere means. Then we have long for the pure milk of the word, where, and then in the NASB and in the ESV, it says, long for the pure spiritual milk. Let me give you exactly in the original language what it literally is talking about. We have to change things in a language to make it sense in our language coming from the Greek language. But I want to give you the actual literal reading of this phrase, because in the Greek language, that which came first was very important. It literally in the Greek language, this phrase, desire the sincere milk of the word, is this. For the spiritual milk, which is without guile, long ye. What's first? For the spiritual milk, we talked about the desire. We talk about that sincere, which means pure, unadulterated. And what else is pure, unadulterated than what? The perfect word of God. And notice Scripture, by inspiration, Peter puts in there, you desire the sincere, the pure, the unmixed. Believers are to crave that which is pure and unmixed and the pure milk of the word. And then we have there in the literal, it says for the spiritual. Other translations say the word of God, of the word. Is that a good translation in our language? Well, yes. What is he talking about in its context? The word there, spiritual, or the word there, of the word, is only used one other time in Scripture. And that is in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, where it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or spiritual worship. The word reasonable, that's this word here. where it says there, the sincere milk of the word. In other words, as we look at that word, it meant belonging to speech, belonging to reason. It would, if you just take it literally like that, you would translate, Peter would have used it as pure rational milk or pure reasonable milk. But as we look, the adequate truth, Peter's intent was referring to Scripture. The context alone. What do we see in verses 23 through 25? It's all talking about what? The Word of God. And we see all through Scripture. And so, as we look at this spiritual, word spiritual, or this word reasonable, it also can be translated the Word of God, because the very root of that word, it's logikos, and the root is where we get the word, Greek word, logos, and so the root of it is the Word. And so as Peter gives it here, he's trying to show you that this Word is pure, it's spiritual, it's God's Word. Contextually, it relates back to God's Word, and that it's what's living and enduring. The believers need before all else the Word of God. Craving the Word of God is always essential to be spiritual and have spiritual nourishment. You see, this term spiritual, of course, is the same root as expression of the Word of God. So Paul speaks of spiritual worship. It's a difficult translation, but in English, we have all the derivatives, and the spiritual food the believers consume comes to them verbally through what? The Word of God. That's what's spiritual. It's the very Word of God. And so he's saying, here's the newborn babe. Here it is. You and I must intensely yearn for the unadulterated, the pure, sincere milk of Word, just as a baby. Do you crave for God's Word this morning? If you don't, perhaps you're not perceiving where your life source is from as a believer. Perhaps if you don't have a craving, you might not just be saved. And Peter is saying you need to perceive, admit, you need to remember the life source. He then says you need to purge your sin. Lay aside. Did you know something? You'll start urging. There'll be an urgence there. There'll be a craving there. There really will. I mentioned last week, have you ever felt mean? Have you ever felt not close to the Lord? Don't be too pious now. I believe, I know everyone's answer there. Well, I know I have. Have you ever done that and know that you're not, and you know you got to get out of it? Because the Spirit of God is telling you what? Stop it! Stop it! Stop it! And you know what it's saying? You get rid of that sin and you ask God to forgive that sin, you'll start craving the Word of God and you'll start wanting to go to the things that you need to do, and it will change. Because the Spirit of God promises that. I'd like to see you stay angry. You start looking into God's Word and you start concentrating on God's Word. Not the person you're angry with as you read the Word of God. Not the sin that you want to get rid of while you're thinking of it while you're reading the Word. But you concentrate on God's Word, the pure milk of the Word. Guess what happens? The baby stops crying. And you start craving the very Word. And what happens is, you see the very truth that you have before you. Look at the last part of that verse then. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Here's another thing that we need to realize. That what it's talking about there, really, the idea, what the thereby is, it'd be talking about our salvation, that we might grow thereby. Where do we start? It's at salvation, isn't it? Well, if you have other translations, you'll see another difference. It says, in some translations, it says, you may grow in respect to salvation. You may grow up into salvation. Literally, it's saying this. The Greek language literally is saying this, that by it you may grow unto salvation. Okay, what's the it? The by it, taken in its context, it's the what? Say it with me. The Word of God. The sincere Word of God. And that's what you grow by. So what is the fourth thing that we need to do that's essential for our lives if we want to crave God's Word? It would be that we need to pursue spiritual growth. We need to pursue spiritual growth. Just as we've been talking about in 2 Peter chapter 1 in verses 1 through 11, we need to pursue spiritual growth. That starts at salvation, that we may grow thereby. Salvation will manifest a growth. Salvation will manifest a desire because you are born again. There will be a desire for the Word. There will be a craving. And as you continue to be fed, you'll see the craving grow and grow. Because this passage of Scripture, we can't put into Peter's mouth and his writing what Paul said in other passages of Scriptures. Some people would like to say this is a growth passage, and it's not. It's saying in other passages where Paul's saying that you grow from milk to what? Meat. And also the writer of Hebrews says the same. And so we grow from milk to meat. This passage of Scripture is really Peter saying to us, as you grow, you need to always, just as a baby desires a sincere milk of the Word, that's what you need to be. You need to know that you need God's Word, purge your sin, perceive your life source, and then pursue your growth. And that only way you can pursue your growth as you continue to realize that I have to be feeding on God's Word constantly. I have to long for it, or it won't happen. It won't happen. You see, as we grow spiritually, as a mother constantly looks for evidence of growth in her child, so God wants to see continued spiritual growth in children. You know, my wife, I don't know why this happens, but your kids, your daughters, they have children. They never seem to call their dad for that technical stuff. I don't understand that. My daughter is always calling my wife about when the kids get sick or when this or that happens and asking for advice. Because this seems to be going wrong in the child. I wonder if there's something wrong with my child. Because they keep getting sick over and over and over. Well, maybe you should go to the doctor and find out that how the tonsils are doing. I remember little Adam, little baby boy Adam. He was, before we came here, in fact, it was before we came here. He was, we've been sixth grade? Fourth grade? Second grade. See why they always go back to the wife? Mom? Second grade. He was getting sick all the time. He'd get over it. We'd take him into the doctor, whatever. What is wrong? Well, take a long story short, we took him in. He had pneumonia. That's why he would get better. And then a day or two later, a week later, he'd get it, but again. Didn't get it again. You see, when there are certain things that happen, you're always looking for, is there a problem? Is there something that's stunting this growth or something? We've got to realize that as Peter's exhortation for believers to grow through the Word, it implies a necessity of discontent with the present condition of spiritual development. There's no such thing as a completed adult. We keep growing. Motivation for genuine spiritual growth arises out of a righteous sense of discontent, coupled with a sincere desire to be satisfied with nothing but the Word of God. Are you content with your Christian life today? I'm just giving you a wild answer to that. Let's try everyone wake up, okay? I'm asking you a question. Are you content with the Word of God? Now, I know that many of you know what the answer is supposed to be. But I want you to really zero in on your heart. Are you really content with your Christian life today? If you're going to pursue that growth, you need to be discontent matched with the craving for the Word of God so that you can go forward in what He has for you. Don't be that sluggish person that just sits there in the couch potato. But you need to realize, okay, I'm this far in my life, another person might be this far in that life, and another person might be this far in their life, but are you content with that? Or do you want to take the next step? Are you really content? You want to have craving for the Word of God? Then pursue growth. Pursue that growth. And then lastly, look at verse 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know what he's really quoting in the Old Testament, where it says, taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. Lastly, we must peruse God's graciousness. Do you know what the word graciousness means here? If you want one word for it, it could be rendered excellent. Look what it said then. If so be that ye've tasted, and it's not just a little nibbling, it's a genuine taste to realize, oh, this is good. This morning, I went and had a little bit to eat, because I never like to eat too much in the morning or different things like that, because if I come out here, then it's going to be all over, you know. But I took one thing of Mary's little egg casserole or something like that with cheese in it and other things in it, and I tasted it. I'm going to have it again. I tasted it, and it was good. Then I went and saw another. So what are all these? And I said, who made that one? What is that? And Mary said, well, your wife made that. I go, oh. I said, well, I know I better take that if I want to live, you know. And what was it? Raspberry, cranberry? It was raspberry chocolate chip muffin. I tasted it. Is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know what he's saying here? You know what we always do? And the whole idea has to be this way. We need to peruse our blessings and benefits. Did you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? You need to go peruse that. Wow. What happened there? Did you know if you peruse that, taste and see that the Lord is good, guess what you'll start doing? You'll start craving God's Word. But the problem that we do sometimes, and nothing wrong with it, because God tells us to do this, and even I think it's inferred in this passage, but I believe what it's really saying, it's taste and see that the Lord is what? Excellent. Fit. Profitable. And we need to put the stress on, I need to taste and see and look at, peruse God's God and His person. That He's the one that's good. He's the one that saved me. He's the one that gave me that egg casserole. He's the one that gave me that little muffin. Even though He used His servants to make it. And so where my praise needs to be, is to God, and so many times we lose that. And we need to taste and see, did you know the Lord is good? He saw the whole world as He created it, and He said it was what? Very good. And He says, and as He declares us righteous, He's the one that declares us righteous, He's good. He's excellent. And we need to praise Him for who He is. And we need to go today and peruse all the benefits and graciousness that God's given us. We need to praise our military. Who gave us that, this country? One nation, what? Under God. I know many want to take that out of there. But it was God. And you need to peruse God's excellence. Peruse His graciousness. That is He. You got clothes on your back today? It's He. Going to have a great dinner this afternoon? It's He. Do you have family? It's He. Do you get to go to China? It's He. You get to be protected by God in China? It's He. That was for mom and dad's sake. Great news. Meredith, they found no cancer in the cells as of right now. They're going to take another one to see if there's some that the one PET scan didn't take. Am I correct? I don't want to. No cancer in her body at all. Of course, that was the doctor's, wasn't it? It's He. And we need to taste and see that the Lord's good, no matter what happens. Did you know? Someday, Colchester Bible Baptist Church might lose their tax exempt because of our stand for the Word of God. I hope not. Do you hope not? I do. But you know what we need to say then? He's good. He's still on the throne. He never changes. Do you crave God's Word? If you don't crave God's Word, I wonder why. Perhaps you're not perceiving your life source as a believer. Perhaps you're not purging yourself from sin. There's selfishness in there. Oh yeah, I know the Lord tells me to do this. I know the Lord wants me to be baptized. We'll use that one. But boy, we need to get rid of that. We really want to crave God's. We need to make sure we just do what God wants us to do. Is that what God wants us to do? We need to study it and see. If it is, what should we do? Do it. If we don't do it, what is it? You're falling short of the very glory of God. For all have sinned, falling short of the glory of God, the very reputation, the very opinion of God, the very exhibited excellences of God. You don't crave God's Word? Perhaps you're not perceiving your life source. You're not purging the sin out of your life and keeping those constant accounts, as a Sunday school teacher mentioned this morning. Perhaps you're not proclaiming your need for the Word of God. And it's being manifested by you're not spending time and having a relationship with the Word. Just as that babe needs that milk, the Word of God, you need the Word of God. You need to proclaim your need for the Word of God. You can't go without it. Number four, you need to pursue growth. That you may grow in your salvation. You may grow in respect to your salvation. God's declared you righteous. We are little Christs. We should walk as He walked, 1 John 2:6. We need to pursue that. And fifthly, perhaps you're not perusing God's graciousness. I believe if you purge your sin, you perceive your life source. You proclaim your need for the Word of God. You pursue that growth in the Word of God and peruse the gracious of God. You know what I believe on the authority of Scripture will happen in your life? You'll crave God's Word. And for those of you, whether you're 20 years saved, 5 years saved, or 50 years saved, you'll crave it more. So where are you at in your life? Where are you at? Do you crave God's Word? As a believer, I can say for you, you do want to crave God's Word because Jesus is in your heart, the Spirit. Where are you? Do you really crave it, though? As He wants us to. And it can be manifested, and the temperature raise, the thermometer. We can find that out by your relationship with the Word of God, because that's what He says. It's the Word of God that you need and crave for. And if you're not in it, you don't have a relationship. What is it? Won't you just be honest with God and let that answer, that Spirit of God, speak to you? Lord Jesus, thank you.